Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Great to have you in on this beautiful May 1st Monday morning. It's Joe, it's Lo, it's Dibs. It's 95.7 The Game. Matt Maiocco is going to join us in about 30 minutes at 7:30 to discuss the first draft for San Francisco 49er general manager John Lynch and head coach Kyle Shanahan. Positive reviews in the market so far. Positive reviews. We've got plenty of baseball to get to. Bob Melvin's going to join us at 8:05 this morning. We've got the Warrior breakdown against Utah, game one tomorrow night, right here, 7:30, 95.7 The Game. St. Leone will join us at 8:30. Gentlemen, it's good to see you. You're both looking good. How was the weather down there in the Central Valley this weekend? It was warm up here.
You know what, Joe? It was really nice. We had a little breeze. Actually, we had some wind up to 50 miles an hour blowing things
around. Not really
around.
A breeze. It's kind of a hurricane.
Yeah. But then, you know, it subsided Friday afternoon. It starts to subside. And then Saturday, beautiful day, you know, in the 80s. I mean, the weather's really been nice down there in the Central Valley. If I could had a crystal ball and I could just, like, freeze it, never get over 87. But unfortunately, we'll get to 110, 112. It gets hot.
Put you and Casaneda together, and you guys might take over the world.
Seriously, traffic and weather, how about never?
Wow. What did I do this morning to
traffic
make you go
traffic and
there?
Weather,
why?
Never passed the hour.
It was a funny line. I went there. Okay, you got the first hour off, and now we're back.
Yeah, you gotta give him a, you gotta, every now and
nice.
Again.
It was good.
That was very nice.
Thank you.
What'd you do all weekend? Did you battle 50-mile-an-hour winds as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, I was up in Pittsburgh playing a Delta View Friday, 30-mile-an-hour winds.
It's 30, huh? It's
got... It was blowing 30. Yeah. It was blowing hard, especially in the elevated tee boxes.
Sure.
And did some gardening. Played golf again Sunday. What can I say, Coach? I got problems.
Did some gardening.
Gardening. You shaved, huh?
It's always my favorite.
I got a green thumb, Coach.
Come on. He's firing, too. Now, this is very rare. It's
awkward.
Very early on a Monday morning, and both of you are firing.
I said I have a green thumb, not an orange thumb, all right? Let's do some gardening. What's wrong with you two?
You guys, this is impressive. This is a very rare feat to see this.
I'm ready
like this
now.
This
I'm
early
ready
in the morning.
Today.
I'm just gonna go ahead and ruin everything and kick it to Dibs for an update.
Warriors face the Jazz. That's tomorrow. Good morning, everybody. I'm Dan Dibley. After a week with no basketball, the Warriors will be on the floor tomorrow against Utah. They eliminated the Clippers in seven games, 104-91. It's the best of seven Western Conference semifinal series. On the other side of the bracket, it starts today with the Spurs taking on Houston. Eastern Conference, Boston wins game one from Washington. Cleveland and Toronto tonight, game one of that Eastern semifinal series. Story number two, Giants with a loss.
High drive to right. And gone. And tied.
Dwayne Kuiper, NBC Sports Bay Area. Mark Melancon gave that up to former Giant Hector Sanchez. And then three runs in the 12th. Padres beat the Giants 5-2. Joe, the Giants are seven back in the West as they head to L.A. It's got to be the worst month they could have possibly had.
I think what makes it even worse is when you sit here and you try to project the numbers. Just taking what this team did in April, if they replicate it for every month through the rest of the season, they will be a, brace yourself, 56-win club. Now, I don't think anyone believes that will happen at the end of the day, but that's how bad the month of April was for the Orange and Black. A 56-win projection 1 month into the season.
Giants opening up a 9-game road trip in L.A. today. It's Cueto versus Kershaw. Story number three, too much Dallas Keuchel for the A's to handle. They lose to the Astros 7-2. Marwin Gonzalez, a three-run home run in the victory. But good news ahead for Oakland. Sonny Gray will get the ball as they open up a road trip in Minnesota tomorrow. That's your update. I'm Dan Dibley. On your home of the Warriors, they host the Jazz tomorrow. Our coverage begins at 6 right here on 95.7 The Game.
Razor sharp right there, Dibs. Thank you very much. Razor sharp. All right. This weekend, yesterday, to be specific, Sunday afternoon, good friend of mine, Chris Andrews, at the South Point Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, released the first 2017 NFL season win totals. Now, generally, this would just be a little footnote, but there were some very interesting nuggets, because when you take very bright minds like Chris Andrews from the South Point, Johnny Avello from the Win, Jake Cornegay and his crew over at the Westgate, these guys are telling you flat out what they think these teams are going to be performing at this season. The wins are meant to balance the action, but some will always be a little bit higher than you'd expect or lower than you'd expect. So you can get a feel for the smart minds in Vegas, the sharp minds, in terms of how certain teams and the upcoming seasons will play out. Where would you like to begin? We'll start locally, but would you like to start with the Niners or the Raiders, Dibs?
Let's start with the Raiders.
All right, let's start with the Raiders. The Raiders have an opening season win total of 9.5 wins this year. 9.5 wins. That's a lot of respect, because you don't go higher really than 11. New England, cream of the crop at the top, 11 wins. Pittsburgh at 10.5, Seattle at 10.5, Atlanta and Green Bay at 10, and then you've got Baltimore, Oakland, Dallas, and one other, which I'm not going to mention yet, sitting at 9.5 wins. 9.5 wins. Now, I think on the surface, most would feel, yeah, that puts the Raiders right in the realm of where you would expect Vegas to list them. They've got some tough scheduling spots, only 7 home games this year. They play multiple primetime games on the road, but compare them to the rest of the AFC West. Raiders at 9.5, Chiefs at 9, Broncos at 8.5, Chargers at 7.5. One of the smartest minds in Vegas is telling you, highest win total for the AFC West, the Oakland Raiders, Dibs.
Sounds like they're favored then to me, although it's very, very close. You said 9.5, 9, and 8.5 are
yes,
the three?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Very tight. One of the highest rated divisions in all the NFL.
And one of the closest, I would imagine. I mean, that's just straight coin toss. And, Lo, you start thinking about those matchups. And I think you mentioned it too, Joe. San Diego might be the team that ultimately decides it. Whoever San Diego does the best against of those other three might be the team that doesn't make the playoffs.
A lot of parity. You're absolutely right. A lot of parity. You look at Kansas City, you look at Denver. You say Kansas City and Denver, you're hoping for a split. You look at San Diego, you know, they went and got Phillip Rivers some weapons. This team is going to be better. Bosa, another year. Offensive line, they went and got Phillip a guard as well. This Charger team is going to be able to compete. They're going to be a good competitive team. New coaching staff. So this is going to be a good team too. So when you look at that and you look at these stats, Joe, you're absolutely right. The one team on there that I would put money on today, if you said, Lo, give me one team on there that's not going to get that 9.5 that you said, it'd be the Baltimore Ravens.
You know, I thought that as well. When I saw the Ravens at 9.5, I thought that's too high. Where are they? Why would Chris put them that high? Where? What's he seeing that's
right,
going to make us think they're going to be a better team?
Cincinnati, yeah. What you the same way?
Yeah, they just don't. Especially when you see they're in a group with Oakland, who's trending up, Dallas, who's definitely trending up, and Baltimore. Now there's another team in there. I'm not going to give it away just yet, because that's going to be a little twist we get to in a couple minutes here, because that is a very intriguing angle, this other team they have listed at 9.5. But look at the teams the Raiders are above. Carolina, Cam Newton, 9. The Giants, 9. The Chiefs, 9. The Colts are up to 9 this season.
Wow.
Clearly they think a bounce back's coming there. But to see the Raiders at 9.5 low, you pegged them right around. And you're not going to be held to this, because this was an early projection. As we get closer to the start of the season, we'll give our officials. But you pegged them right around 10-6 about a month or two ago.
Yeah.
So to see it at 9.5, tough for you to make a wager either way. It's kind of right on the number.
Yeah. Shoot, it's going to be tough. That is a good number. I would be nervous. I would be nervous, but 10 to me is their max. If they got over 10, I would absolutely be shocked if this team can get over 10 this year. With their schedule and the amount of competition and the black and blue games they have, Dallas, the Giants, the Ravens, the Tennessee Titans, with the amount of black and blue games they're playing, hard, coach, hard.
And that leads us into week one and the surprise team I mentioned earlier. The Tennessee Titans have an over-under of 9.5 wins. Process that for a second. the Tennessee Titans are listed as one of the top 8 teams in the NFL this season as it pertains to season wins. That is a bookmaker. You see this every year in Vegas, especially with college football season win totals, but you'll see it a couple times in the pros. You'll see that one team that's either much higher or much lower than virtually anyone would expect. And that's a bookmaker based on his resource and his inside knowledge telling you, yeah, we're on to something here. They think Tennessee is going to be a very, very serious force. Two things to think about with that. One, and this is something I like, I think the Derek Carr-Marcus Mariota rivalry could be one of the next big things in the AFC.
Agreed.
And I think that's something to get excited about. But two, damn, Dibs. I mean, week one out of the gate, you're going up against one of the toughest competitors in the league. I don't think many people anticipated that when they saw the schedule come
out. Yeah, you didn't think, oh, big game alert, Tennessee and Oakland.
Right.
But that's, you know, possible playoff preview game, right? If one of those teams falls down into the wild card spot, Houston's going to be formidable as well. I don't know what they're listed at. Probably 8.5 or 9, I
right
would
imagine. Right at 8.5. Nicely done.
In that same mixer. So
wow.
You think about Kansas City, Denver, Oakland, Tennessee, Houston, all 5 of those teams in the same mixer, and likely only 2 or 3 of them are going to make the playoffs.
Now let's switch to the NFC West, and we'll come back later to put a bow on the rest of the NFL. But here's where they've got the Niners in the NFC West. Let's work it down through the division. Seattle at 10.5. I feel that's a bit high based on where
Agreed.
They're trending, but we can get to that in a bit. Arizona at 7.5. Second best in the NFC West. They got him at 7.5.
Wow.
The Rams at 5.5. The Niners at 4.5. Very nicely done. I should have had a little delay there. That's
we should have talked about that.
Bad
4.5 for the Niners. Now, the only team lower, Cleveland, listed at 4 flat. Extremely rare that you get a season win total that low. They're never going to throw a 3 out there. But to see 4 for Cleveland, worst ranked. Niners, second worst, 4.5. This, I'm going to be honest with you. Last 2 years, we've been all over the under. Last year, that was a big play for us. I kind of like the over 4.5 with the Niners this season. Every game's a 1 p.m. Eastern start, pretty much, except for, you know, they got the Thursday nighter in there. But it's not a team that's going to draw a lot of publicity. They don't have as tough a schedule as we've seen. 4.5 with a guy like Brian Hoyer, upgraded roster, a little bit of momentum, as some would say, coming into the season with all the moves. I don't know. I think they might be able to scratch out 5 wins, Dibs.
And I think if we broke out the schedule week by week again, I remember their last quadrant of games, very winnable. They have the Rams a second time. They've got another favorable.
Yeah, you got them losing. You got them winning a game that I have them losing.
Yeah.
Jacksonville at the end of the stretch. You got them. That's the one I think me and you were different.
Yeah.
It's in and of. They got the
it's a
Rams.
Flex game. That's a game that's getting flexed.
That's
Sunday
exactly
night.
Right. And
you don't know it yet, but I'm calling it.
When you look at the 49ers this year, and if you look at the whole NFL and you start to look at tank candidates, not Tank Carradine, tank candidates, you look at
well
those
played.
Teams who are likely to tank, the Niners aren't one of them. They've got the new regime. They're looking to rebuild with momentum, get everybody involved. So this team late in the season is going to be fighting for victories. I like the over as well.
Low, sitting at 4.5, does that surprise you? We know this team's in a rebuild, but 4.5. I mean, how many wins did they scratch out last year?
What was the final?
They scratched out 3?
Two.
Yeah,
so 5 might
be a stretch. You're trying to give them one.
Yeah, I mean, I was tracking that all year. Well, it got to a certain point where, like, 11 games in, you could go ahead and
they
it.
Beat the Rams twice, and that was
Rams
it.
Rams twice. They swept them.
That was
so
it.
They swept them. But me and you had the same deal.
We
both got a win in 5. We just had it in a different order.
Yeah.
Joe, when I look at this, I look at the Niners, and everyone goes, every team does it. They look at these chess pieces in the draft, and they say, this guy pulls a come in and play and do this. Solomon's pulls a come in and play the 3 technique over to center and guard and keep Navarro Bowman and Foster free. And then I can move Solomon to over the guard or over the tackle at the defensive end, and he's supposed to win on 3rd down the one-on-ones to get me pressure on the quarterback. So the draft-wise, why they got Foster, a guy that can run sideline to sideline and cover him up with the 3 technique and let him run – the pieces that these team that the Niners put in place merits that they should be pretty good defensively, start to get in their stride. Do they get over this, over the 4.5? Absolutely. Why? Because it's the makeup that they went about this draft, tough, physical guys, and also look who's leading it, John Lynch. What do you know about him? He played the game physical. He was tough. He was a smart, no-nonsense type of guy. He is going to infuse that with Kyle Shanahan, knowing what they do and doing what they do. They are going to push guys to play hard, to reach expectations because of the fact they know that no job is safe. And especially when you talked about Hoyer, I like that point that you made about the quarterback, Joe, because he knows that right behind his back is another backup quarterback, which you have two backups. And this team, Shanahan has no loyalty to either one of these quarterbacks. So you're going to see both these guys sometime this year. So you're going to see both these quarterbacks try to play well. So when you talk about a number 4.5, I'm going to have to take that over.
I'll tell you another one I like that jumps out. Tampa Bay at 8, I'll go over there. I see them 9-7. I see them possibly winning the division, getting into the playoffs. It's time to break free down there. They've made enough moves. They've upped the defensive side. Winston's got enough under his belt right now. No more excuses.
No.
It's not that tough a division. You got New Orleans, which is, that road game can be tricky, but they're not exactly the force they were 5 years ago. Carolina, it's up in the air. Are we going to see the team from 2 years ago or the team from last season? Probably somewhere in the middle, logic would dictate. And then you've got Atlanta. Sure, they made it to the Super Bowl, but they just lost their offensive coordinator, and that was the strength of their team. And we all know what happens to the Super Bowl loser the following year. Somehow it doesn't break well. You set Tampa Bay out there at 8. I'm thinking over on that one. I'm also surprised Dallas didn't get the 10 treatment. They're sitting 9.5. Dallas won 13 games last year. They don't see him winning. You don't see him winning 10?
I see him getting 10.
It's a tricky one, though. When you're at 9.5, to bet those overs, you really need to have some hooks in that schedule.
And now, Joe, you got a quarterback that is him. He's not looking over his shoulder. So is there going to be a digression? Is a little decrease in his play? Is teams going to kind of figure him out at someone? Are they going to depend on Zeke? So that 9, that 10, that's pretty tough.
And that division, too, those games are all close, typically, and wins can go either way. All of a sudden, you can go from 10-6, maybe you're 7-9. Those games are always competitive. What did you have Atlanta at? I was going to They're sitting 10.
They're sitting at 10 right now.
Because your love of Tampa, which I agree with, it's a solid pick. Either Carolina or Atlanta's then going to have to go over in order for Tampa to get over.
That's a unique division. That's okay. It's early on a Monday. You guys came out firing with material at the top of the hour, so you're good for a couple
Tampa
slips.
Got a great tight end. This guy's going to be special.
O.J. Howard?
He's going to be special.
I mean, come on. You got Mike Evans. You got O.J. Howard. It's Winston. There's no excuses. You got to make plays this year. It's a unique division when you look at the landscape, because you know how we talk about the idea of the prototypical quarterback for the AFC North? You got to be able to handle outdoors, cold weather, big arm, windy. What do you do in the NFC South? You've got very hot and humid in Tampa, a dome team in New Orleans, a dome team in Atlanta, and then the Carolinas, which can be hot and humid, but can get cold, can get rainy. It's a little bit, even Steven, a little bit everywhere.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Just
when
the first
about
time
that.
I'm thinking about it now. No, I'm just throwing it out there.
You're absolutely right.
I'm just
kind
of mind dumping on you right now.
No.
It's called mind diarrhea.
No, because I got a mind dump.
Thought diarrhea.
No, since we're on this, I got a mind dump. If you said, give me one that I should go, and you said, Lo, I'm going to give you one bet out of all those teams we talked about, and you can pick an under and over, give me one that you would put everything on. Be Arizona and Bruce Arians, I trust. That 7 is a bad number.
7.5. Like the over on Arizona?
Absolutely. Put everything you have on this one. Here's the thing.
All right. Everything.
This
prison bet.
Prison bet.
Whoa. Okay. Let's slow everything down here. Monday morning. I didn't realize a prison bet was coming out this fast.
I know. I love this one. I mean, I'm like. I feel like the Dubs. I feel like Dubs on this. Here's what you got to realize.
Take your time. Work it through.
Okay. Whew. You have an aging Carson Palmer who's probably going to be his last year. Bruce Arians has went out on a limb for this guy to save him. He has been in working overtime, training, doing the things he have. You have a receiver that had one of his better years that is saying that he understands that this may be coming to an end. Their team is really honing in. They're making moves. Arizona will, listen, absolutely, positively, will win more than 7.5 games.
If not,
lock it up, baby. Prison bet.
I am.
You got me locked up.
Now, let me tell you something. This is an individual that is less likely to back the prison bet than anyone else in this room.
By far.
Let's be honest, he's had some success. So he always looks around and goes, I don't need the $3 million. I'm already good. But to sit here and risk, and for those who are new, the Prison Bet is very simple, and it's indigenous to the 95.7 The Game Morning Show. Prison Bet works as this. If you're willing to take it, a win gets you $3 million. If you win the Prison Bet, you get $3 million cash, no tax. A loss puts you in San Quentin for a year. And you do not, yeah, the other version
now that
of
makes
the
it,
and you do not get to play in the Warrior game when they come up to San Quentin. You do not get to play in that game.
All of a sudden, I got nervous again.
Yeah, but to see that you see that line stunk to me as I'm going through it. I see Arizona 7.5. I go, something smells there. What is it that they see? Just like Tennessee's 9.5, right there. They're telling you get on Tennessee. They're not telling you to bet the over. They're telling you Tennessee is going to be better than most will give them credit for. This is what Vegas does. To put Arizona 7.5, they're almost telling you it's over down there.
Okay, in you guys' opinion, if I said, if you had to pick one, I'm going to put you two, since you guys got me on, got my things in a vice grip, let me put you guys in a vice grip. If you had to pick Tennessee or Arizona, which one is more likely to go over? Boom, waves
Tennessee,
in your face.
So Tennessee 9.5, Arizona 7.5. Dibs, which of the two would you be more likely to bet over?
Arizona. Without a doubt. I think Tennessee,
I'm probably doing that too.
9.5 is scary because 9-7 is still a pretty good year in the NFL.
Right.
Eight teams are going to go 9-7. But to get to 10-6, that's more rarefied air.
I can't believe you just went Prison Bet on that over. Now you got me all twisted up because when you're that into something, you know your boy waits for a commercial break and then he steps away from the room and he starts thinking about sending texts.
Please think about
this organized
before it changes, because here's the thing. You know I've been talking a lot to Bruce.
You and Bruce are boys.
And he wants to make some noise. This guy.
What happened last year? Did he answer that? What the hell happened last year?
Yeah, that's
Bruce?
A good question. Did you
guys
ask that
supposed
question?
To be 12 wins last year, Coach.
Yeah.
You guys were sitting around taking a schwitz.
Sometimes you get the old
please
bear
explain.
Schwitz.
The bear schwitz,
oh,
by the way.
Don't dump that. We kibitz about taking a schwitz.
Right. Mine's out of the gutter.
Just keep shaving that tumbleweed. Keep working in the garden out there.
Now back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Vegas has spoken in the wake of the draft. NFL season win totals are out. You'd be surprised at a couple teams where they are on the list. We're going to get to that at about 7 o'clock. A team Lo Neal has been high on. Whew. Vegas has finally woken up. They should have been talking to you about a year ago, Lo. Would have saved them some time. Joe, Lo, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Tosh.0 tickets to give away. Daniel Tosh is going to be in town. We'll give those away in about 2 hours at 8:45 when the ticket window opens up. George Kontos in 3 hours at 9:45. So the Oakland Raiders 2017 draft is in the books. Up and down the board, defense was the name of the game. As it stands today, anything jumping out to anyone as it pertains to what the Raiders ended up doing? They went quarterback Arian Conley first round. They come back with a safety in the second round. It was defense for the first three picks. Then they're looking to the line, to linebacker, to safety. All in all, you know some names. You don't know some names. You feel as if the Raiders got better and plugged some holes. But the first two picks for the secondary, Lo, how you feeling?
I feel good. I think that you know you needed a corner, and they think they have a corner. We're going to see how he progresses, but this was definitely a first-round talent. I think when you look and see what they did, you know, making sure they get an interior lineman, we talked about that too, saying get a big boy up front to get better. They acknowledged that as well. We also talked about our guy getting a good friend of the show who plays well, Big Donald Penn, a great talent still. But we went ahead and drafted a guy for the future maybe, getting a younger guy, seeing how he's going to work out. Went and got secondary safety. So I really believe this was a good draft. They went and got defense, which you knew you needed. And then in later picks, you went and got an offensive tackle. So I thought that this Raider team did a pretty good job in the draft.
The offensive tackle was David Sharp, 6'6", 343 pounds, a boy mountain out of the University of Florida. He went in the fourth round, pick 129 overall. Lo alluded to this pick, and this is my favorite in the entire draft for the Oakland Raiders. Round three, pick 24, defensive tackle Eddie Vanderdoes out of UCLA, 6'3", 305 pounds, a lot of value here. Vanderdoes was a five-star recruit out of Auburn, California. He played all 13 games in his first year at UCLA and earned honorable mention. First team All-America, or for the All-American team. He's also on the freshman All-American team. Now, Vander Doge, you might be asking why, if the accolades are so high, he slid. He tore his ACL in the 2015 opener. So not last season, but two seasons ago. Was lost for the year. Last season came back, but put on a little bit too much weight. Was inconsistent with his play. And that's what led to the fall to the third round. But we often know the ACL could take 2 years to bounce back from. If Vander Doge can bounce back from the ACL, many felt late first, early second round, this could be a big-time diamond in the rough, Dibs.
I mean, especially 2 years later, and once you get into an NFL training camp and you get into the regimen of where the NFL team wants you, your weight control, your weight gain, your weight loss, all that stuff becomes managed much more closely. I have a friend who's a scout down at UCLA, and I know he's very high on the player, and so the Raiders should be as well.
Lo, you know what most people will say about Eddie Vander Doge? When you get past the knee, when you get past the slide and the weight, all the stuff that's on the outside that can be controlled. You know the one thing they say about him when he's on the field and he can play? He can anchor. This is what you've been saying the Raiders have needed to help the linebacker position when it comes to interior defensive line. They'll actually say Eddie Vander Doge, he grows roots amongst that defensive line. You ain't going to push him all over the field. He will grow roots. He will anchor that D-line.
It's a good pick, Joe. And everyone thinks, oh, is he just some anchor, some fat boy? They've used this guy at fullback. They've used him on multiple sets. So the guy's agile. He's got some good feet. He's a mobile guy.
Agile, mobile, versatile.
Absolutely. So you
one thing I don't know if he's ever laid tile, but we can look into
well,
that.
Well, if he can do that, hell, I'm going to get him down there in Lemoore. I got to lay some tile. I was just on a phone call about laying some tile this morning. But anyway, as I digest. So you got to realize this kid is going to be he can be a staple for this Raiders defense because they needed a guy. When you look at the Raiders, I talked about their interior line. One of the worst teams in the league this year, Dibs, in sacks, pressures. So they needed to go get someone a push in the middle, and also this is really going to help. But we'd love to get our guy Jim. We'll go get the coach from UCLA, good friend of mine. We had him on the show.
Jim Mora.
We should get old Jim Mora Jr. on the show and talk about this young talent.
I'm all for it. Now, round number two, if you look at what the Raiders did in picks 1, 2, and 3, they found players that can fill not only positions of need, but specific areas of coverage of need. Gerrion Conley, 6'1", 195 out of Ohio State, the 24th overall selection, was brought in because this team needs a little more versatility at the cornerback position. When you build out your wide receivers and your corners, you don't want all of the same type. What I mean by that is you don't want three wide receivers who are 6'5", 235, but can't break away on that slant route. Just like you don't want three wide receivers who are 5'10", 185 speedsters, but they can't go up and get it in the red zone. What you want is a combination. Why? Because that forces the opposition to have a combination of corners. The problem for the Raiders last year is between Amerson and Smith, big physical press corners. You see what happens when you try to put one of those guys on a Brandon Cooks. He runs right by you in week 1 for a 98-yard touchdown. So Conley comes in with a little more speed, a little more versatility. He adds versatility to the corner position. Then you look at round 2, pick 24, Obi Melifonwu out of Connecticut, 6'4", 224-pound safety. You know what his specialty is? He covers the tight end. Wasn't that a bit of a problem over the last 2 years, Lo?
You think? Especially the kid from Kansas City. You see what he's a nightmare trying to guard him. So now you went out and you got a big physical safety that can run, that's long, that can go up and get the jump balls, Dibs, just like, because you see smaller safeties, they lose that jump ball. So this is a guy now that they can get up, go with the tight end, not just run with him, but also be physical enough to stay with him and go after those jump balls as well.
Travis Kelce, of course, Antonio Gates in San Diego.
What's the other one's name? Hunter Henry?
Hunter Henry.
Yeah, he plays baseball.
I was thinking Hunter Pence, too. You had me thinking baseball. It's Hunter Henry.
He's going to be taking over. So you've dealt with Gates for the better part of a decade. Now you're going to be dealing with Hunter Henry, Travis Kelce. Understand your opposition within the division.
And the fact that he can cover the tight end kind of offsets, to me, a need that they didn't necessarily address in the draft, which is the whole question of middle linebacker. I know they added Markell Lee in the 5th round, and he could be a developmental piece. But with Perry Riley Jr. being a free agent, you got Corey James and Ben Heaney. Neither of them really could get the job done. I think you still have questions about who's going to step up in that position.
I would expect Perry Riley Jr. to be signed sometime in the near future to bring him back. But like you said, Markell Lee, 6'3", 240 out of Wake Forest, the 5th round pick. The only linebacker the team selected. I want to go running back a little bit further down the list with you. Now, Lynch is obviously your linchpin. Ooh, terrible.
That was nice. That was good.
But then you've got Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington. But you want some depth because running backs can help you on special teams as well. Seventh round, pick 24, Elijah Hood out of North Carolina, 5'11", 232. He can play a little bit. I was surprised to see him fall this far. 5'11", 232, that's another power runner for the Raiders right there.
Absolutely, Elijah. You know,
the prophet Elijah.
The prophet, you knew I was going to.
It's in that book, Jody.
I was in
that, 654. In that book, Jody.
The over hits.
That is over.
No, Elijah's going to be a good little change up. And here's a guy now that can play some special teams for you. It's just going to be tough for a guy. He's like a cat. He has nine lives. Tywan Jones. This guy just finds a way to stick around, Joe. You talk about alluded to special teams. He plays that, Tywan. So now you went out and got Elijah. You already know who you got. You know Lynch isn't going to play any special teams. You know Jawar, those other guys, Richard, those guys will. So this is interesting. It's going to be interesting because you already got Ella Wale as a fullback. So it's just you only usually keep four backs. Now with you know, it's five on the five or six on the roster. So this is going to be interesting. So fifth round doesn't guarantee you a spot. This guy's going to have to go bust his butt on special teams if he's going to try to keep his, you know, keep his stay in the National Football League.
First three picks, Garyon Conley, the corner, can keep up with the speed demons, can play the slot. Upgrade. Pick number two at 24 in the second round, Obi Melifonwu, the safety out of Connecticut, 6'4", 224, can wreak havoc at the line of scrimmage. Mike Mayock refers to him as a genetic freak and can cover the tight end position. First round talent, a lot of people felt. Pick number three, Eddie Vanderdoes, defensive tackle out of UCLA, who can anchor. How much better is this Raider defense today than it was heading into the draft? These are young guys, but if this team's going to compete for the Super Bowl, is it unreasonable to think you could get quality production out of maybe two of them this season, Lo?
Yeah, and the good thing about it, Joe, you already have some starters in those positions that you alluded to. So it means that these guys are going to be developing as the year goes. And so these veterans are going to pick up their game. Why? Because they know they got a young guy that's hungry, that's snipping at their heels. So this is going to iron that iron, kind of sharpens iron. You have some good young players that physically are able to step in right now and play. The biggest thing is not going to be the physical aspect. It's going to be above the it's going to be above the shoulders. So now you have a safety, Joe, that's 6'2", you said 230. He can come down and play in the box. Now when you go two tight end sets as well, sometimes that safety's in there, and a lot of safeties, they get ragdoll. The little Carlos Joseph, good guy, can play tough, likes to hit, but too small sometimes get thrown around by those tight ends because they just beat them up. Now you can have that guy because he's the same size, 6'2", 6'3", 230 pounds, almost during the same size of most tight ends. He can line up now and say, okay, you ain't throwing me around. Linebackers, the tight ends just too fast, can beat him off the ball. Linebackers are trying to grab and they beat him up. So now you have a situation where you're playing some press coverage, and you got a safety to walk down. He's playing some man. He doesn't have to. Now you don't have to worry about him getting clubbed because you have a big physical safety that can play and match up good against tight ends.
Well said. Well said, Lo Neal. Did it surprise anyone to see Joe Mixon land with the Cincinnati Bengals? I think it was right around pick 48. Match made in heaven, is it not, Dibs?
It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. And that's how Cincinnati's been doing business, whether it's Vontaze Perfect or Pac-Man Jones.
We're on to Cincinnati.
You can go all the way through the list historically. If you've got character issues, Cincinnati's the place for
Cincinnati
you.
Cincinnati loves you. They'll sign you to a 5-year deal. You're made in the shade in Cincinnati. Low played in Cincinnati. I didn't realize you were a character issue guy.
Easy, Joe. Easy. It's interesting though how Cincinnati that it's they like those guys. It's you got Pac-Man, you like Vontae, you got all these different guys, and now Mixon, it's interesting. How is this young man going to flourish there? Because of the fact that you've seen Pac-Man, you look at a lot of their veteran guys. We talked about it, Joe, 2 years ago, that they got in the playoffs, and when they got there, the veteran guys, they blinked.
Pac-Man and Perfect.
Yeah.
That was the Pittsburgh game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so now you're putting a young man that had, you know, that had a shaky career early in his, you know, college career. You know, it was young, but now you're putting him around guys that are questionable. Not that's party, but it's guys that are, you know, that hit and do certain things that is just not acceptable. So it's just interesting that that place brought a guy like that in.
Now back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Great to have you in on this Monday, the 1st of May. Cinco de Mayo this weekend. I believe tomorrow we'll get post positions for the Kentucky Derby.
Huge. I'm a big, big Derby wagerer, Joe. So we'll have to give out our...
Are you really?
Oh, yeah.
Do they have OTBs here?
No, but you can go to like Golden Gate Fields, for example, on Saturday or even ahead of time and get down, so to speak.
What I like to do, and I've done this every year for probably 5-6 years, is the matchups, like you'll see in golf, 1-round or 4-round matchups. Which horse will finish closer to the front, A versus B? So I'll isolate those options because it's a 20-horse field.
Yeah.
It's really a crapshoot when you think about it, and you need a lot to break your way in order to win. More on the Derby maybe later this week. We'll give out a couple selections. I don't know a single horse in this race, I'm going to be honest.
I don't either.
So you probably don't want to follow these selections, but we'll get you something. We'll get you something. Lo, you watch this Klitschko-Joshua fight this weekend?
My God.
Saturday heavyweight bout was in the middle of the afternoon because it was overseas. What'd you think of that?
I thought it was over 70,000. Well, I didn't think. I saw that it was over 70,000 people strong. And the heavyweight division has been lacking that luster. A fight that you can see two gladiators actually trade blows, mix it up, not afraid to go for it and risk getting knocked out. And these two guys went at it. Joe, I love the fight. Klitschko gets knocked down, and you see the young guy goes in to try to finish him. Klitschko catching with that left hook, slows him down and rocks him, and then Klitschko begins to just the onslaught for 3-4 rounds. It was two tells of this fight, and unfortunately, the tail end, the young guy prevailed, but hell of a fight, Joe. Yeah, I watched it.
Anthony Joshua by TKO in the 11th. It was at Wembley Stadium, which is why it was in the middle of the afternoon on a Bay Area Saturday, a beautiful Bay Area Saturday. Two judges had Joshua ahead by about a round going into that. Another judge had Klitschko ahead, so it was tight down the stretch. One of the best heavyweight fights of the last 10 to 15 years.
Wow.
No doubt about
it. I'm going to have to check it out later today.
If you have some free time, check it out, even if you're not a boxing fan. Just the fact that these two in that division went toe-to-toe for as long as they did. Sensational fight. Joe, Lo, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. To the Niners, we go. And you know about the round one draft picks. We were on air Friday talking about Solomon Thomas, talking about the trade-up for Reuben Foster. It appeared as if John Lynch and the team were cooking with gas. Or as Crisco, as Lo would like to say, with a hell of a draft, acquiring more picks, moving up the board, down the board. At the very least, by the end of it, they gave you the impression that they were organized and aggressive, and that's what you want to see out of your front office. They did pick up a quarterback, round 3, pick number 40 of the round, 104 overall, C.J. Beathard, quarterback out of Iowa, 6'2", 219 pounds. Now, Beathard probably isn't going to be your quarterback of the future, but at least you're taking a shot on him. He did play in the Rose Bowl 2 years ago against Christian McCaffrey and Stanford in a game many of you should remember, a thriller, where conservative David Shaw pulls out a play-action bomb late in the game that he didn't need to throw to make sure the spread was covered. I don't think that was his logic, but very, very uncharacteristic of Shaw in that game, and I thank him for that play call for
And I thank him for that play call.
Well, I said that they had been covering the whole way, and then late, Iowa gets this late garbage touchdown. It's like, it's over. Shaw's just going to run the ball. We know what he's going to do, and he's going to run it with McCaffrey. He's going to win, but he took a shot on third. It was a beautiful thing. Third, it may have even been second. That's neither here nor there at the moment. As the dust settles, Lo, on the 49ers draft, anything particular catch your mind? The lead story on Monday Morning Quarterback is all about John Lynch and how they did. This is a team that looks like they've got an organization headed in the right direction right now.
Without a doubt they did, and I think to John Lynch's credit, everyone said, here's this guy coming out of the broadcast booth. Here's this ex-ball player, and you saw what happened in Detroit with an ex-ball player. He got motorboated. He didn't have a great outing as
Matt Millen.
And watching John his first year, the way he went about the trades, the things that he did, the leaking information, talking about different players that he loved and he liked, and then watching this young man go to work, to go ahead and getting Thomas, that was huge. Getting Solomon, going trading one pick back to three, from two to three, and still getting the guy that they wanted, and also getting some more draft picks, especially in the third round. That was Kaiser Soze-like, Joe.
Dibs, reports came out after the first round that Reuben Foster, the linebacker out of Alabama, that the Niners traded back into the first round to acquire. It was a deal they did with Seattle. That Foster may need another shoulder surgery. He had off-season shoulder surgery, the labrum and the rotator cuff. And there are reports from several that he's going to need another, which could put the start of the season in jeopardy for him. The Niners feel he won't need it. Big concern for you, especially since this is a rebuild?
No, small concern for me, in part because I've had that very surgery with a torn labrum, and I know that you can come back and be very close to 100% as I am now. Obviously, the rehab of a pro football player is going to be about half as long as it was for a broken down old guy like myself.
You look good today.
Thanks. And the shoulder's good. I have almost full range of motion, and if it takes him 4 months to come back, and if it means he sits out the first four games because he's not yet ready to go, then so be it. This team is not about 2017. It's about 2018.
How'd you hit him against Steiny this weekend?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Shout out Mare Island. Beautiful day out there on the island. We don't usually compete like that. It's more of a...
Really?
No, we just play and enjoy each other's company. It's true friend.
Okay.
That's really impressive. It's also inspiring.
You know, for me...
I'd never be able to play like that.
For me, going out and playing golf, and we played yesterday at 6:30 in the morning, beautiful Bay Area morning. It's about enjoying yourself as opposed to losing a little, winning a little, getting mad, being competitive. I just want to enjoy myself.
Do you think he was keeping score, though?
Oh, no, we both keep score, and I did beat him, but there was nothing to say.
That's yes.
Your boy had two birdies, chipped in on number 10.
Okay, now the truth comes out. There we go. Because I'm a bus signing. When he comes on the show, I'm going to get him.
He actually played 36 holes yesterday, so.
Okay.
Yeah, he ran it back in the afternoon.
The commitments.
He's got a problem. He's got a real problem.
But, Joe, with this Foster kid, as I digest, with this Foster kid, Joe, here's what you can do. You play him now. You don't worry about the surgery. You go ahead and start the rehab now. You can still rehab and strengthen the labrum, try to strengthen all the muscles and things around it now. And you play him. And he also can play with the donut. You put the little donut over the spot. You could play with the harness this year. So the harness restricts you. He won't have, like, Dibs full range of motion, but he'll still be able to go so far, and then the harness will hold it in there. So you let him get through the season, hopefully, if with that. And if not, if he goes 5, 6, 7, 8 games and he gets hurt, you shut him down, you do the surgery, and get him ready for the following year. You're not going to damage anymore. Have this, you know, so play the guy, put him in the collar, and let him go eat.
That's good to hear. Not exactly like an ACL or an Achilles. It's a shoulder. You both lay it out to the point where it's, okay, not too much to be concerned about there. Beautiful work. A few weeks ago, on a Friday, I ran through a list of game logs for a season for a college football running back to see if anyone could guess who it was. We did it for fun to show the greatness that was Barry Sanders. I want to do it again, and I want to start with a game log October 15th. This is, again, for a running back last season, college running back, last year starting October 15th. So we're in conference play. 34 carries, 179 yards, touchdown. Next week, 29 carries, 332 yards, 4 touchdowns. Following week, 35 carries, 172 yards, and a touchdown. The next week, 15 carries, 181 yards, 2 touchdowns. Let's go to the next week. 23 carries, 149, and a touchdown. The next week, 26 for 97 and 0. That's the outlier. And then the bowl game, 26 carries, 222 yards, and a touchdown. Ladies and gentlemen, I speak of Joe Williams. 5'11", 210 pounds, 23 years old, out of Utah, the 49ers' fourth-round selection. In those final 7 games, Williams carried the ball 188 times for 1,332 yards and 10 scores. He averaged 7 yards per carry against Pac-12 competition. You know the Shanahan family, father Mike, son Kyle, have a history of identifying running backs in the mid to later rounds and making it rain with them. Terrell Davis in Denver, Alfred Morris in Washington, Devontae Freeman out of Florida State with Atlanta. This kid, Joe Williams, something to keep an eye on. The knock, played 2 games this year, retired, and then 4 games later came back and rejoined the team. Does he love football, Lowe? How big a concern is that? You get him in the fourth round, so the value's there. I love Joe Williams. I watched a ton of Joe Williams last year. Love this kid, but again, you got to be concerned.
You do, and I think a lot of guys love football, the game, the atmosphere, game day, whether it's college, whether it's pro, high school, we all have done it. But the work leading up to it, the day-to-day, going to meetings, being at practice, it's hot, you're sweating, and you walk around and you're like, do I really love this? Do I really want to do this? And I'm not playing, I'm not getting a game, I'm not getting paid, and I'm going out to practice, and we're going 9-on-7, and someone's hitting me, and I'm like, God, dog, and I still got the game 4 days away. It's the mindset. Football, you have to be a little crazy, and the mental mindset of it, you guys understand it, it's different. And so does he love the game? He probably loves the game, but is his heart all 100% in it? No, and that's why this guy tired, came back. But he knows that he is good at something. And when you've been blessed to be a gifted athlete, to be a grown man, to play a kid's game and get a king's ransom, by God, you ride it till you can't ride it anymore. And I think this is a wise decision by this young man to decide to come back. And Kyle Shanahan, good job of picking this guy up.
I know you've seen some of this kid. I want to sit down and watch some of Joe Williams with you and get your thoughts on it as you watch him live. A treat to watch. You could really see him fit in this offense and doing some big things in the future. He and Carlos Hyde together, I'm just getting excited about it.
Wow.
Really excited about it because I love watching him at Utah.
Now back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
He is a two-time Manager of the Year and the manager of your Oakland Athletics, Bob Melvin, with Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Very well. Very well. Thank you. And thank you so much for your time. We know you're very busy. We'll jump right into it. The month of April concluded yesterday. As you look back on the first month of the season with the ball club, what did you like? What would you like to improve upon?
Well, we you know, if we could put away those last six or seven games, it would have been a lot nicer. You know, we struggled here just recently towards the end. We had a nice little five-game win streak at home when everything was clicking for us. But I think right now, injury wise, we need to get some guys back. It'll be nice to get Sonny back tomorrow. We'll get Raj Davis back. So hopefully we're on a trend now where we get some guys healthier as opposed to putting guys on the DL.
Sorry, Bob. What's it like for the managers when you get a pitcher back like Sonny Gray, as far as maybe having guys move down a spot in the rotation and also good for the overall morale in the bullpen?
No doubt about it. It just makes us, you know, deeper in the rotation. And for some of the younger guys that we leaned on a little bit harder to start the year, take some of the pressure off, you know, for the guys like Manaea and Cotton and those guys who had to pitch a little higher in the order than maybe anticipated. But, it is. It's a boost in the arm when you get some of your best players back. And we've had, seems like every one of our injury this year has been the key guys. So when you get these guys back, you feel better as a team.
Any specific approach with Sonny tomorrow? Do you have him on a pitch count? If he really gets cooking, are you going to let him stretch it out, or is there still some risk here?
Yeah, I think the first time out, you certainly keep him to probably around 90. I mean, that's kind of what we're looking at, probably, depending on how he gets there and how many innings. So, you know, if his pitch counts are normally 100, a little over, then it's not too much less than that. So he'll be good to go. He had two really good outings leading up into this, so confidence-wise, he's ready to get out there.
Bob, how does that work when you're bringing a guy back up to the majors? Is that your call, or you talk to the player? How's that? Take us through that process.
Well, in regard for Sonny, it's all about, you know, getting him. You know, it's like spring training for him, getting him back to where he's able to start a game. The last thing you want to do is have somebody start that can only throw 50 or 60 pitches. So it's just a progression that you know, the training staff works up, and you know, we monitor as far as bullpens and rehab outings and so forth. So it's a collective effort between the training staff, certainly development, the guys that have them, and us once he gets back here.
Bob Melvin with Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. We had the pleasure of talking with you several times so far this season, and every time we're talking A's, whether it's with you or Susan Slusser or Ken, we talk about Manaea, we talk about Jarrell Cotton, Sonny, Andrew Triggs with a remarkable month, 4-1, 1.84 ERA. I mean, catching everyone by surprise, Bob. How well, what's been the key to his sustained success so far through the first month?
You know what? It's throwing strikes. I mean, his stuff is pretty electric. I mean, from that arm angle, it's really difficult to get a read on him sometimes. And, you know, got off to such a hot start and then had a tough game and you're wondering, you know, how's he really going to respond? And all he does is go out there and you know, shut out the Astros for X amount of innings, what was 6 or 7 innings that he was out there against them. And that's as good a lineup there is in baseball. So it's not a fluke anymore. I mean, you pitch 4 out of 5 games like that. It means you're on a nice little roll and you have the talent, the ability to do it.
Sean Manaea hoping to come back soon off the DL. What can you tell us about his injury and Marcus Semien, how he's progressing as he hopes to return?
Yeah, as far as Sean goes, we got to be careful with our younger guys. He started to feel better last week and threw out to 120 feet. But this is a guy that, like I said, we got to be careful with. So we'll get him back and, he'll throw an extended bullpen this week. And if all goes well there, then he'll take his start, you know, hopefully soon after the DL period is over. But if we feel like we need to, you know, hold him back for another start, we'll do that. It just all depends on how he feels this week.
Bob, the Warriors in the upcoming series against Utah are going to honor the 2007 We Believe team from 10 years ago. Would you compare all your years in baseball? Do you think that 2012 A's team has some similarities to that We Believe team?
No doubt. I mean, that was really a remarkable season for, you know, right before the season, we traded our three previous All-Stars, and it looked like a serious rebuilding year. Took us the first half to kind of, you know, we finally got back to 500 right at the end of the first half, and then the second half, it didn't seem like we lost any games in the second half and really had to be almost perfect to come back from 13 games down and win on the last game of the season. As far as regular seasons go, that's one of the great regular seasons, not certainly in my career, but really in baseball, to be able to come back and win the division like that on the last day of the season. So I definitely think there's some similarities.
And that last day of the season game was one that we'll never forget in my household as we pulled my kid out of school. I give the kids one get out of school free card. They can play. And I guess he was 10 then, Bob. He decided that was the day that he wanted to be out. So, he was able to enjoy that one.
Used it pretty early in the year.
Pretty good call on your part, too.
Yeah.
For that day.
Yeah, you know, you got to throw him a bone, Bob. Yeah. When Josh Hamilton lost that ball in the sun, I could still see it today. The joy that swept over the East Bay that afternoon.
It's well said there, Dibs.
As one man's misplay, you try not to celebrate, but in those moments, certainly hard not to. Bob, how often do you use things like that to talk to the current players about saying, you know, a team much like you was able to do things that were great in the past? Do you draw those parallels or do you mainly keep your coaching and your motivation on the current group?
No, you definitely have to go back to past experiences. And, you know, we had a little losing streak here after a winning streak. And I remember in 12, we lost 9 games in a row. And it seemed like, you know, this was just going to be a tough year for us. And, you know, sometimes that makes you a little bit tougher, and it did for us. And like I said, we had to claw our way back to 500 at the end of the first half and then had a magical second half. So it really, if you can just stay with it in tough times when you have injuries and so forth, try to stay close to 500, then you get everybody back and you start to get some momentum and win some games, it can happen that quickly. So you always go back to resources from years past and experiences that you think can motivate the team.
Bob Melvin, 2-time manager of the year with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Yesterday, I'm sure you probably didn't get a chance to watch it. Obviously, you're busy, but you may have noted that Washington beat the Mets 23-5 in a game where Anthony Rendon went 6-for-6, 3 home runs, 10 RBIs. In a situation like that, no matter what side you're on, obviously you have Noah Syndergaard getting hurt early, so the Mets need to make some adjustments. Do you call off the dogs? I mean, how do you tell professional ball players, maybe let a few get by you here so we can get through this thing? Because it looked like Washington was just getting after it.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. I mean, if you can pad your stats, you can pad your stats and you can pour it on and you score some runs and, you know, you just in baseball, no one goes up there and is going to take strike three just to get the game over with. So there are plenty of those games where you don't score and you're going through 0 for 10s and 0 for 20s and, you know, if you can build up your stats and in a game when everybody seems to be kind of thriving off each other, you go ahead and do it. I mean, you're not sending runners at, you know, from second to home on close plays or anything like that, but no one feels sorry for you in baseball.
Well said. Bob Melvin, manager of your Oakland Athletics with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Bob, we appreciate the time. Good luck in Minnesota. Look forward to catching up again next week.
You got it. Thanks.
Now back to Joe, Low, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I'd like to get into what we teased from the last segment. This weekend starts OTAs, rookie camp, for all the new college kids who have been minted. They're coming in the NFL, so they are going to get their first taste of life in the NFL this weekend. Raiders, Niners, all the way across the board. You, before we dive into what it was like for you in New Orleans, because those stories are awesome, what are they facing this weekend? For the audience that doesn't know, what is a rookie camp entail?
Well, some kids are still in school, some are out, but I remember being in college still at Fresno State, and this time comes, and it's like, okay, let me pack my bag. I'm getting ready to freaking go to New Orleans. So these guys are coming from all over the different places. They get flown in. A van will come in. When you go first take that trip, when you first come in, when you're visiting the teams before the draft, they got a car service. You're in the finest hotels.
Oh, yeah.
Now they pick you up. It's the team van. It's one of the little poop bup scouts wanting to be scout.
AC's broken.
AC's broken. Let's go. Grab your bag. You're on your way. You come in. You do redo physicals again. You come in there, Joe, and it's just amazing because you're just like, you get there, the coaches meet with you. You're frigging in your little meeting rooms. It's three practices a day.
Is it anybody but the rookies?
Yeah, it's more guys than just the rookies. Sometimes it's some guys that are already on the team, some guys that are bubble guys. Some of the first
they want to make a good impression.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And first year guys, they might say, "Hey, look, we want you to come to minicamp. We want you to come in with the rookies because we need some extra bodies. We want you to come in because you're a guy that we're expecting things from. So we need you to get a little more crisp learning the system. So you'll still have guys that own the team because you just go out there with a bunch of rookies." It'd be like a Chinese fire drill. Everyone's running all over. So you want some of your veterans, some of your younger guys, and probably it's going to be some of these quarterbacks, the veteran quarterbacks, Joe, because this is their first. This is, you know, they haven't been with a lot of these guys. They've been some OTAs. So you have a couple quarterbacks that you're probably going to bring in, even at the rookie minicamp.
Do you think Hoyer and Barkley, would be in their best interest to both be at the rookie camp?
Absolutely. At least one of them. I think coach is probably going to, you know, convey that. But you do want your rookies to get the majority of the reps, though, in this particular camp. So it's simple, man. You're there. You're doing the physicals. You're doing all the other things. You're at practice three times a day. Guys are going to be shocked, man, because you have the little lunch, hour and a half. You're back in meetings. You're freaking getting taped. You're freaking running. It's no rest. It's boom, boom, boom. You're getting out of there like 8 or 9 o'clock, Joe, at night. For those 3 days. So guys are thinking, oh my God, no, it's going to be, I'm chilling. I get to go see the city. Hell no. You're there to work.
How many days is it?
It's a 3 day camp.
3 days, three practices a day. And then I take it in between practice. Do you have film sessions?
You try to grab something to eat. You're back on the field. Coach might want you to come in a little early. I mean, it is a very tight schedule. You don't have time to go run around and do anything. So these young men are going to be shocked once they see the speed of the game, how quick things are going, special teams meetings, all the things that's going to go on. This is fun times for the rookies, man.
You're staying in a hotel, I take it?
Yeah.
Like near the facility? Yeah, are all the rookies together?
Yeah.
Does rookies, the team put them up?
Yeah, the team puts everyone together. They pick you up. There's a van. Certain vans come at certain times, and you have to be on there. They'll find you still even right now as rookies, and these coaches are going to be on, guys. It's funny. You go out to camp and watch this, coaches are yelling at guys, get out of here, run to practice. It's really, really neat.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Welcome to the league.
They put you in that pressure cooker, and they want to see how quick you can get it. I'm talking about they're throwing the playbook at guys. Guys are frigging, like, panicking because how much they're trying to throw at you. So it's a tough little time for these rookies right now.
Is there any contact?
No, you're going to be in helmets and you'll be in the soft shells, not the shoulder pads. But guys are still getting at it. Coaches want to see you run. I mean, you got to hurry up and try to get taped and get back out. This, I'm telling you, mini camp, it is a friggin' grind.
Okay, so tell us about New Orleans. So you're still at Fresno State.
Yeah.
This is in the draft took place over just what, one day, a Sunday?
Yeah, Monday. It was a two-day draft. So.
Okay, two-day draft. Yeah. You find out in the fourth round you're going to New Orleans. You're going to join the Saints. That following weekend, did you go to New Orleans for rookie camp?
Yeah.
But you're still in school at Fresno. So did you go to class like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Yeah, you still go to class. And like, man, you ready for go to New Orleans? And you tell me, I'm going to New Orleans. Man,
so you're just walking around a big swinging you-know-what on that campus.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You're going to be a New Orleans Saint.
Absolutely.
You're getting out.
And you know, you got a couple bucks in your pocket. People are looking, oh, you just got drafted. And you fly over.
Suddenly you're good looking. Yeah, like real. You're already good looking, but you're even better looking right now.
Absolutely.
Lo'Neal going to get me out of here.
Absolutely. And you go in, and I flew over. I remember flying over New Orleans because you watch it on TV. And you say, wow, New Orleans, the bayou. It's friggin' all the things are great. I remember flying into that place and them picking me up. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to I'm in the National Football League. Joe and I pull up and I'm like, all right, we're driving, going in this road. I'm like, all right, when are we going to get to the facility? He said, all right, we're here. I said, this is a joke. I'm not here. This is not the National Football League. Three trailers? That was the Saints facility. The Saints, New Orleans Saints facility. I'm talking about you got to have, what, 50, think about 57-man roster, 453 in the five practice squad guys. There wasn't 10,000 square feet of building. Think about that, bro. You got to realize, think about little rooms. You had trailers.
Where were you, in like the middle of a field?
No, we were in Metairie. Bro, we didn't even have 100 yards. So I'm thinking, I'm in the National Football League. I've arrived.
Yeah, you think your facilities are going to be just spotless. Disneyland, not Disney World, because we know everyone here loves Disneyland.
Our weight room, if you can imagine this size of our room, it's probably a 10 by 20. It's probably three. It was three of these. That's the size of our weight room.
Wow.
I'm serious.
It's a lousy weight room. Fresno State's was probably better, right?
Absolutely. So my high school weight room was better. We couldn't. So in the pros now, every team I've been to, you could have all the offense and all the offense lift together, the whole offense. Not in that facility. We had to do times where because you couldn't have more than like 15 guys in there at once. That's how small it was, and we didn't even have 100 yards of grass.
Joe, you did not have a 100-yard football field at the New Orleans Saints training facility.
Did not.
Is this the same facility you used to practice at during the season? Right.
Yes. About that.
Well, now you've got like four fields.
Yes.
Everybody's got four or five.
Yes.
There's the kicking field. There's the special teams field.
We didn't have a whole field. We couldn't even play a game on the field. If we wanted to say, okay, let's do a scrimmage, you couldn't even play a game there, coach.
A lot of red zone work.
Yes.
We're going goal line. Again?
Everything's goal line, coach.
No wonder we went 2-15.
That's why they drafted Ironhead Hayward.
No wonder we went 2-15, okay?
Wow.
Didn't have 100 yards of grass. Is that not a crazy?
I don't understand why. You didn't have the space?
Didn't have the space. It was a dump. It was a dump.
So you don't have 100 yards. You got three trailers, one of which is a weight room. What are the other two?
Yeah. Meeting rooms. And you had to build on. And the friggin'. And then we didn't have a. And then we have turf, you know, because it rains at times. We had 70 yards of turf. That's it. No, I'm sorry. 50 yards of turf. So you had 75 yards of a grass field. You had 50 yards of turf. That was your practice facility. We had to play there the whole year, coach. That's all I got.
Okay, so you're there, I'm taking it like a Thursday through a Sunday?
Yeah.
What are you thinking as you're working your way through this? Well, where'd they put you up? Some hotel where? You're probably not down there in the French Quarter living large.
No, we stayed in Metairie, Kenner area, so you're nowhere near downtown.
What's Metairie like?
It's okay. You're
scary?
So you could look up the old Saints facility. Pull it up, Dibs, so you can see it. Yeah, it was just...
I'm looking at the new facility, and it's what you dreamed about.
Yeah.
It's what you wanted, coach.
Oh, yeah.
The house that Breeze built,
pretty much. No. I played in that. I was there for 2 years. In the last 2 years, we built a new facility. They were building it.
So you're a real-life football team at that point?
Yes.
But those first 2 years, and this is, for those who have never heard it before, you were with quite some interesting characters. This was the Dome Patrol.
Oh, Dome Patrol.
Who was the quarterback of these teams?
Jim Everett was the coach. We had Steve Walsh.
He was from Miami.
Oh, my God. He couldn't hit the white. Oh, his arm was so strong. Not.
But this was, you're saying, when you got down there, this was a cultural shock because you had been around a little bit thanks to wrestling and thanks to football. You had done some travel.
Sure.
But New Orleans was a different beast entirely for you.
It was totally different. I remember going to the store, and I went up to the cash register, and I had some gum, and the cash register young lady said, oh, you buying this gum? Yeah. I'm like, yeah. And I'm like,
you're saying she answered the question
that she asked
herself.
Yes. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, she goes, where are you going? No. I'm like, What do you mean? Where am I going? No. Like, okay, so I bought the gum. So she's like, okay, where are you? She's trying to, I guess, trying to talk to me, have a conversation. She said, where are you going? No. I'm like, where am I going? Back to work. So it's just interesting.
I'm a football player.
Yeah. So it's just.
We have desire a room.
Right, exactly. And it's like, you know, if everything you do, it's like, hey, you want me to give you some of this jambalaya? Yeah. And it's like, yeah, I'm getting ready to get some jambalaya. Are you going to buy this jambalaya? Yeah. Well, duh. Why do you think I got it up here? So it was a total culture shock for me. I mean, the guys that I played with, there was some characters, man. Frank Warren, I mean, Ricky Jackson.
Smoking cigarettes outside before practice in the heat, in that New Orleans Bayou heat.
110 degrees with 80% humidity, so you're just sweating.
Gross. For anyone who doesn't know what that is, gross.
Yeah, you shower and you're still sweating.
Life is very uncomfortable.
Absolutely. And so we're getting ready to go out to practice. Guys are outside sitting on the bench smoking squares. I'm like, you know we got to go to practice. Look, get your butt out of here. Don't worry about us. I'm like, dude, this is...
So you tried to tell them, like, guys, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That's not good for you.
Yeah, we got practice. You're smoking. Yeah, so New Orleans it was a very interesting deal. But these rookies, though, for these next 3 days when they come into camp, it's so fast. Everything's moving so fast. Guys have got to be up to speed. Coaches. The head coach is going to demand that his coaches, assistant coaches, push these guys. He wants to see how sharp these guys is. He wants to see if they can what can they retain. He wants to go out there and get guys lined up and see if guys can get in the right position. It's really, really fast paced, and it's going to be interesting to see how these teams handle camp.
If memory serves me correctly, you were so shook, you flew Mama Darlene down there with you.
I did. She had to come stay for 3 weeks. It was...
I laughed because I could see myself doing the exact same thing.
No, like coming you Eastern PA, you'd
throw me in. Yeah, New Orleans. I would have looked around and been like, this is not for me. I want to go wrestle. Son, you've already missed the opportunity for wrestling. BS, I want to wrestle Kurt Angle. Get me out of here now, New Orleans of all places. Oh, my God. Thank you for sharing that story. It's always good stuff.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.